Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today. As you know what, it wouldn't be fall without talking with our next guest about what's happening on her farm. Inga Wisher with us today. She is the host of Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. I've got a new set of shows starting in October. She owns and operates a small organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. So we'll talk with her about the show, the new season on her show. We'll talk with her about what's going on at her farm and probably a little bit about cooking, too. You might have a fall recipe or a favorite you'd like to share as well. What questions do you have about life on a small dairy farm or those other things we talked about? Join right on in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. And Inga Wisher, welcome.
Hello, Larry. It's nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you. And you are in our Eau Claire studios, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I am.
And how's farm?
Oh, it's wonderful. We're doing a different thing on the farm this fall. We're beginning to plant some garlic. So I'm getting my beds ready, and hopefully in the next 2 weeks we'll be starting to put in about a half acre of garlic.
Half acre. Oh.
That's a lot of garlic.
That's a lot of garlic. So that's, is that, how are you going to, are you going to sell that? Are you going to?
I want to, yeah, I'm hopefully, you know, I love having people out to the farm, and I love getting people out there for a reason. So I'm hoping that next early fall, late summer, I can have a garlic festival and bring folks out to the farm and just teach them about what's happening, and we can all celebrate with a garlic festival. Oh. It's one of my favorite things to eat.
Yeah, this is a perfect time to be planting that.
Yep.
So that's wonderful. What about your cattle? What about cows you got there?
Well, Larry, it's a pretty sad thing. I had to transition out of dairy farming. 2 weeks ago, I had to sell the cows.
Oh, no.
So it's been really, really, really emotionally tough, but a wonderful family was able to purchase them, and they're actually milking the cows on my farm until they get their farm set up. So it's a nice transition to be able to have, to know that my cows were going to a really fantastic home.
Well, is this going to affect your cheese making?
Well, we stopped making cheese about a year ago, but about 20 minutes after I sold the cows, I said, well, you know, I could buy 5 springing heifers next year. We could put in a small creamery and just make small batch cheese. So I'm kind of working on a plan for next year to maybe start making cheese again.
Well, you have a B&B, you do tours. Where do you find the time to do all this?
I don't know. I drink a lot of coffee. No, it's fun. You know, it's. I really like having a lot of different things going on. It's. It just makes life more exciting. So we're able to kind of plan things in certain days and just really focus on doing that, and just time management is good. But you, things have been slowing down lately, which is kind of nice.
Well, you have a B&B. Tell us about that.
So what we do is we have a farm stay. So we invite people out to the farm to really experience farm life, all the wonderful smells of the farm and the sounds and the chickens. And folks are able to come out and gather eggs with us. When we were milking cows, they came out and milked cows with us. We're gathering vegetables from the garden, making breakfast together. And they just really get to have that experience reconnecting with the farm. One of my favorite guests this summer that came out was a little boy named Ty. And I think he's probably about 10 or 11. And he's been watching the show for quite a few years, and he's been writing me letters. He wrote me a letter once our season finished airing, maybe last year or something. He says, wait a minute, what happened? I want to see some more episodes. What's going on? So we started a correspondence, and he's just such a cutie. So his grandma brought him out, and he got to stay over at the farm. And he went out to the barn, milked cows with me, fed the calves, no problem, jumped in there, started feeding calves. And he cooked dinner with me, and then he took me fishing, and then woke up the next morning. I started milking that morning at 5, and he was out there at 5 a.m., ready to start farming. Just the cutest. And then he made breakfast with me. It was so nice to be able, and I think that's one of my favorite parts about having the farm stay is that we can connect on a different level. And really it's just a fun way to get to know people.
He's not going to ever forget that. What an experience. Oh, my goodness. Well, Fran in Madison has a comment. Let's go there. Fran, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks. I'm just wondering, is Inga from Wisconsin?
I'm originally from Washington State.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you that the variety of cooking shows on public television, and there are many, you are one of the most refreshing, wonderful additions. The ball jars in your aprons, cool. I mean that's truly Wisconsin, right?
Oh, thank you so much. That's so nice to hear.
Keep it up. I really enjoy you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fran. Thanks for calling. Well, that's a nice... And, you know, cooking always plays a part in your shows.
Well, it's a, you know, it's a part of agriculture, really. It's the end result, right? And it's a fun way to... One of the things that we like to do with the show is to really showcase these farmers, these wonderful people doing the amazing things here in Wisconsin with agriculture. And a great way to tie that in is by cooking a meal at the end of it. And I love vintage aprons. I wish that I could, you know, I wish I could just walk into like a 1950s style kitchen and just have everything in these beautiful colors and patterns and things. So it's fun for me.
Oh, by the way, how'd your garden do this year?
Really well, actually. I was kind of surprised because I didn't really put that much effort into it. Thank goodness it's been raining, you know, every single day since I planted any seeds. But I was a little bit worried because I tilled up more acreage or more garden than I had recently done, and I hadn't put any compost in it or anything. And so I was like, oh, is it going to do well? But it did pretty good.
Well, let's go to Grace in New Glarus next. Hi, Grace. Thank you for calling.
Howdy. Hey, Inga, you and I have something in common. I'm originally from Washington State also.
Oh, no kidding. What part?
I was born in Kirkland. My dad's, he's the youngest of six, and he's actually the only one who wound up leaving the state. So I've got almost all of my cousins are still in Washington State.
Oh, neat.
So,
fantastic.
I was actually calling to ask you if you are a member of the Farmers Union.
The Wisconsin Farmers Union?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Good for you. And I think, I'm not sure if they're, I don't always manage to keep up, but he's also an organic dairy farmer. Just like to put in a plug for the Wisconsin Farmers Union and all of the stuff they're trying to do for the people of the state to protect them from big ag and big money and interests that are just not good for the people of the state, whether we live on farms or whether we live in the city with contaminated wells and all of that. I appreciate your show and what you're doing, and just wanted to put in that plug.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, Grace.
Thanks very much for calling, Grace. Appreciate it. John in Wausau has something for us, too. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Inga. How are you?
Hi, John.
Great.
Good.
Great. Inga, I love your show, and I love especially how you go out and meet all the farmers in your area. There was one program in particular where you ended the day with a really big lunch at your table outside after you'd been with, I think, a guy that made hay. And
sure, yeah, all my neighbors, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. So I always look forward to watching it. And then I have a question. You're from the Northwest?
Yes.
Are you related to the Witcher Harp Company at all, anybody that makes harps?
No, no,
because
not that I know
really
of.
Good harp maker. I figured, oh, harp makers, farmers, you know,
one and the same.
Yep. Thank you for your show.
Thank you so much, John.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. You can join in too. 1-800-642-1234. We'd love to hear from you. And email us at talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. At the Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Now, this is coming up. We've got the fourth, isn't it the fourth season of the
it's
show?
It's the fourth season, yeah.
Of Around the Farm Table. And it really is a lot of fun. Well, how did you come up with that idea?
Well, my father and I, we he moved to Wisconsin a little bit before me, but we came here. He started helping me start my dairy farm, and we just were kind of exploring Wisconsin and realizing that there's so much diversity in agriculture here. And at the same time, I wanted to kind of market something from my farm. So maybe I was going to raise steers and market those. But it's tough when you're farming to get the word out about what you're doing. So for me to be able to go out and connect with consumers and tell them what's the difference between my beef and then the store, you know, conventional beef at the store or something, it's difficult to do that. And we were watching a lot of British cooking shows at the time. And so one day my dad and I were out milking cows, and he said, you know, we need to do a show about the local food scene here, and we need to really highlight what's happening here. And I think let's just do it. You're going to be the host, and it's going to be a part cooking, and we'll show what's happening on the farm, and let's just do it. And so we did, and it was really fun.
Well, it is really fun. Oh, man. So that's how it, that's, and then how did you wind up at Wisconsin Public Television?
Well, we sent them in some short clips, you know, some like 4-minute segments of things that we wanted to do. And they said, put together a pilot episode for us. And we were shocked. We never expected that to happen. So we did. And then they said, okay, let's do, get 8 episodes for us. Let's go. And we're like, okay, well, we're dairy farmers. So we got to figure out how to do this. But we just have always had such a lovely team. So it's been, I've always had the easiest job.
Rick's a pretty good guy.
He's a great guy, and he comes up with the great ideas and just keeps everything fun.
Devin in Ashland up next. Hi, Devin. Thanks for calling.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Oh, thank you. I'm just calling because I am a big dreamer, and one of my pipe dreams somewhere down the line is to actually have my own sort of homestead operation with dairy cattle and hopefully some sheep for wool and that sort of thing. And an idea that has crossed my mind in all of my planning out is doing some sort of bed and breakfast sort of retreat thing on my land. And I'm just curious on how you got that started and how everything went for getting that sort of thing up and running on your property.
Well, what I did is I painted the inside of one of my bedrooms and put a nice fresh pair of sheets on it and just kind of opened up. And I always tell people, you know, I say, hey, it's really humble. I mean, you know, I'm not, my house is not the greatest place, but, you know, I think that's what people want too, is they're going to a farmstead. They're having that experience, and I think it's good for them to just have that experience. But there's a lot of great resources out there now. There's a lot of, there's some ladies down in southwestern Wisconsin. Lisa Krivics, I think is her, I can never pronounce her last name. And Chris, and they're doing a lot of cool farm stay stuff down there. So actually what I did is I just went down there and talked to those ladies for a while and got some great ideas from them. But I think it's, you know, it's just like anything else. You just do it, and then you just see how it goes from there.
You know, I was thinking the Wisconsin Bed and Breakfast Association, I'm not sure what is on their website, but that might be worth a look for you as well, Devin, just to check and see if there's any information on that site.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, worth a look anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. So you just put some clean sheets.
Basically.
A nice pillow.
A nice pillow.
It's not a sagging bed, is it?
Yeah, it's got character. I'll say that. It's got character.
Okay. Oh, man. Well, listen, we've got some callers online, but you can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller, visiting today with Inga Wischer, host of Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Radio, and she operates and owns her own small organic farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. KP Whaley, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45, we'll be talking about the advantages of a liberal arts education and how a creative culture is important to our economy. So I hope you'll stay with us for that. Right now, visiting with Inga Wischer, host of Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television, and taking your questions. And you know what? Let's go to Casey in Rice Lake next. Hi, Casey.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
I am on my way from Rice Lake to Eau Claire driving, and I just saw one of my favorite scenes in the world, which is dairy cows, Holsteins, out in a pasture, a green, green pasture. I grew up on a dairy farm. We farmed out of sand, eked out a living. But I'm sad, Inga. Why are you getting rid of your cows? Keep your dairy cows.
Oh, I know.
Cows. Why?
Well, you see, the thing is, so I've been farming on 28 acres for the last 10 years with these cows and buying and feed every year. And it's always been, if it's a good year, it's a break-even year. And unfortunately, it's just, I just don't have any more money left. I literally just didn't have any money to buy feed for this winter, so I just had to make sure that they got fed this winter, and you know, and it's been tough, but you know, it's I love what I do, and it's it's probably one of the most difficult decisions I've ever made in my life, is having to sell the cows. And it's tough. It's tough making a living on a small chunk of land. And I've been going around the state visiting these other farms, and they're doing more on their acreage than I am on my acreage, because I'm trying to graze the whole thing, and I'm trying to make this work with the cows. And I just keep hitting my head up against a wall every single year. And finally, I just said, well, you know, my neighbors have been so generous with saying, well, here's a couple bales of hay to get through. You know, you pay us when you can. But I just had to kind of bite the bullet.
I think by next spring you'll have four springing heifers.
I hope so.
It's kind of like the old story about asking the dairy farmer, what do you do if you have $1 million? He says, I just keep dairy farming until it was all gone.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, how do you make $1,000 farming? You start with $1 million.
Yeah. You start with $1 million. Not having $1 million in your pocket, you decided for now not to have cows.
Yeah. And, you know, also it's really neat to be able to see what people are doing on their property and see how they're really making, you know, we go to farms where it's a 6-acre farm and they're doing so much more production than I'm doing on my 30 acres. And so I just thought, well, maybe it's time to rethink it a little bit and just kind of take a break, put some money back in my bank account, hopefully for a little while, and just refigure how we're going to work things out.
Well, let's go to Karen in Ogdensburg next. Karen, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Inga. I just wanted you to know that Ty and I are listening.
Hi, Karen.
On the radio. And he keeps running, and I'm in the bedroom, so I don't get any echo or anything. But he keeps saying, are you going to be on? Are you going to be on? But he's so disappointed that you sold your cows.
Oh.
He will survive, let me tell you. But he had the best time. And something Inga didn't mention is that Ty is homeschooled. So what he wanted to do for his class trip last year was to go visit Inga. And he said that is the best class trip he's ever had. And he said, can we go back again this year, Mom? So plan on us, Inga. We'll be back.
I hope so.
Thanks, Karen.
You bet. Bye.
Bye. Appreciate the call. Oh, that's a nice call.
Oh, that's sweet.
Lisa in Minnesota up next. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Lisa.
I had a question for Inga. We love your show, and we're faithful watchers, but I just had a quick question for you. Are you going to have more of those wonderful, delicious recipes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The season coming up, and actually I'm finishing recipe testing for my website this week, so hopefully I'll get them up before Thursday. But yeah, we have some really fun ingredients that we're using this year. We went to Door County and collected Wisconsin caviar. And we're having a little celebration with caviar. We got champagne or sparkling wine from a local vineyard. We went to a friend of mine, the guy who used to breed my cows, Brandon Betcher. We went to his place and got some beautiful beef for lager pie is what we're calling it. And my cousin Cece is on an episode with us this year, and she makes a lavender panna cotta, which was out of this world. So we'll have lots of fun recipes coming up.
I know you're going to have some Wisconsin craft cocktails as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Lefse hors d'oeuvres.
Yes. So, you know, Wisconsin, it's what can't we do here? What can't we make here? Now we have all these wonderful distillers coming up with different things. We picked up a whiskey that was made from sorghum. So we got to visit a sorghum farm, and he said it was the largest sorghum farm in Wisconsin, and just to learn about the sorghum industry and then taste the sorghum whiskey afterwards, it was really delicious. And I got to get together with my friend Nathan Berg, and he's an amazing chef. He's really a Midwest chef, focuses really on Midwest cuisine, and so he mixed up a bunch of cocktails that were just delicious.
So lots to look for, and Lisa, stay listening, because we're going to go into a little more detail on some of the upcoming shows. The first one premieres October 6th, if I'm not mistaken, right?
October 6th at 7:30.
And on all of our Wisconsin public television stations, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So everywhere, October 6th at 7:30?
Yes.
It starts, and we'll talk some more about that. Lisa, thank you for calling. And let's go to Jim in Kansas next. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Hi, Jim.
What can we do for you?
Hi, Inga. Well, I was just wondering, how are you doing with all this Wisconsin things? Are you keeping up with your fishing?
Well, yes, a little bit. Not as much as I should, because my husband keeps disappearing on fishing trips by himself and he won't take me with him.
Oh, man.
But I did catch quite a big bass. It was a smallmouth bass. I don't know anything about fishing. So when I caught it, I just thought, well, do we get to keep this one or do we get to let it go? And so, no, we got to keep it and it was big. So now I'm hooked. Now I got to get fishing poles and all the gear. Next season for our show, I think we should do a nice big fishing trip episode.
I think that'd be a lot of fun. Thanks, Jim, for calling. I want to give Jerry and Racine a chance to join us. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. I was just wondering if your guest is familiar with a gentleman up in Canada named Curtis Stone. He does this urban farming, and he's able to produce an incredible amount of product and basically people's front yards and backyards. And instead of scaling up, he feels that it's better to scale down. It's more manageable. And he's able to get his product to the market so much faster.
I'm not familiar with him, but he sounds interesting. I think I'll have to Google him when I get off here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because he produces, in terms of cash, he produces a lot.
He's able to produce on a quarter acre upwards of $80,000 in revenue. He's been reporting being able to produce up to six figures almost on quarter acre land, depending on type of crops, you know, determinants and determinant tomatoes, things like that, specialty products for restaurants, small markets, farmers markets, things like that. But he really breaks it down and what he does per section of the year, what he puts in the ground, how long it takes, how many harvests. I mean, he really gets it. He's got a book out as well. But I would encourage your guest to really, you know, do some research and maybe purchase his book and take a glance. And it doesn't hurt, you know, knowledge is power.
Interviewed him a while back now. It's been a while. I was trying to remember. Curtis Stone is his name.
Correct. Curtis Stone. He has a YouTube channel. He does a lot of video blogs, what he's doing that week.
Yeah.
What's working, what's not working, things like that. He's really interesting. I bought his book and I put a lot of his information to practice personally on my little victory garden, and I've been able to produce much more vegetables than I did the first 2 years that I started doing this. So
yeah.
That's exciting.
It's really nice. He's kind of moving into a no-till method of gardening. He's very precise. He does a lot of the numbers. He tells you how much weight of seed he used per plot, and it's good information.
Well, and in the book you'll find a fair amount of information. He really has it all laid out as to what he spends and how much inputs are, and he's probably not like you or like me in that regard.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But I guess I know I could do better.
I certainly could.
Along those lines. Jerry, thanks a lot. Curtis Stone, the guy. Yeah, and there you'll find a lot if you go online to his. Tammy wants to know your opinion of raw milk.
Well, Tammy, I've milked cows for a long time, and I've been in a lot of different barns. And I think if you're a kid growing up on the farm and you got the dirt going on, that's you're ingesting and everything like that. But I think if you're not living on that farm, I wouldn't recommend drinking the milk. I know everyone's got their opinion on this, but there's a lot of manure in barns. I mean, it's just a fact. So I think that, you know, when we were kids, we would drink, we never drank milk actually, but we'd pour it on our cereal, but it came from the bulk tank. But also, you know, we ate the eggs from our farm and ate, you know, got the dirt and everything like that. So I feel like our antibodies were built up. But I would be nervous to serve raw milk to people visiting, and I definitely, if I was still milking cows, I would not ever sell raw milk. I just think it's not the something I really would like to delve into.
You and I had a similar kind of growing up, because we had the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
drank it out of the bulk tank, and but you raise some very good cautions.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I mean, there's just having everything just be very sterile, too, is it's tough. And, you know,
well,
you never know.
Let's talk about the season again. You've got, what, 8 episodes?
8 episodes this year, yes.
And so let's give a little taste. And by the way, you can join in. We've open lines get you on pretty quickly now at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. And you've got an author to kick things off, Nicholas Butler.
We do. Nicholas Butler, he's an author. He lives not far from my farm, and he wrote a book called Shotgun Love Song recently. And then he's internationally famous. He's just does these amazing books and short stories. So we got to have him out to the farm. And my favorite episodes that we film are the ones that I get to film with my neighbors, because they are just, they're just adorable and cute. And they are just such, they're so great at just saying, okay, all right, let us know what you want us to do. So we do this annual book club. So and it's also fun, too, because they get dressed up, which I'm always like, oh, well, geez, you guys can clean up. Wow, this is nice. And so we had the guys down for our book club, and we got to talk with Nicholas Butler, who's just phenomenal. And we collected mushrooms up in Cumberland.
At a mushroom farm?
Mushroom farm. It's called Tavis's Mushrooms. Larry, have you ever tasted a shiitake mushroom that's just been cut off a log and then you put it in your mouth?
I have.
Isn't it the
I
most?
I grew some. Isn't that wonderful?
It's the most incredible flavor. I'm actually going to start growing mushrooms just because of the flavor. It's
unbelievable.
You can't explain it. Yeah.
And so you made some soup out of those mushrooms?
Made some soup. And then we visited a biodynamic farm near the St. Croix River in Osceola and gathered some vegetables for that. And then I made it's called soca. And maybe from like the south of France. And it's a chickpea flour. And so you mix like chickpea flour with a little bit of water. And then you put it in a cast iron skillet and make it kind of a crust. And essentially it's kind of like a pizza. I mean, you could put whatever on top you want, but it's delicious. And it's, you know, it's interesting. And if you have a problem with gluten, I believe it's gluten free. I think so. I hope so. Cause I think I said that during the episode.
Sounds like a great show. And then, went on a Wisconsin Public Radio tour to Hawaii once and had a wonderful time. And one of the fun things we did was to visit a lavender farm over there. And it was the aromas, the smell of the lavender, it was just so wonderful. And then we tasted a bunch of different lavender things. And you mentioned earlier that you have... You have some things relating to lavender, I believe, on your second show.
We do. We went up to Door County. It was my first trip up there since I've lived in Wisconsin. And it's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
I have to go up there more often. But we went to the lavender farm on Washington Island.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like stepping into the south of France. I mean, it was just to visually see all that purple lavender and to smell it. And we were there, we got there in the evening on the first night, and the buzzing of the bees, they're just everywhere. And the smell was great. And so we made a white fish. We put a white fish in parchment, and then we steamed it with some lavender, and it was just delicious. And then my cousin Cece made a panna cotta out of it too. It's fun. Like, and that's the thing about doing the show, Larry, is because all of a sudden, you know, I'm just in this part of Wisconsin where we're milking cows and growing corn and all this stuff. And then I'm in a lavender field in the same state. I mean, incredible.
And then in the same show, you're visiting a robotic dairy farm.
Exactly, right? Who would have thought?
Oh, man, I love it. Denise in Appleton, thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a question. My work schedule does not allow me to watch very many programs to catch them when they actually come on.
Yeah.
Is there any way other than just regular TV to view her program?
Sure.
Like, is it online?
Yeah, you can stream all of our episodes on wisconsinpublictelevision.org. It's WPT.org. And if you search Around the Farm Table, you can watch all of our episodes from there.
Oh, awesome.
And all the back episodes are up, too, if I'm not mistaken, aren't they?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, I went on, did that myself for a couple of episodes, and it's nice to be able to have that. Well, I love the title of the third episode that you have. It's called Dung Beetles, Spuds, and Sorghum.
Dung a beetles, great combination.
Just what I wanted to hear about. But you make it fun, I'll bet.
Well, dung beetles are so interesting. And I'm, you know, I love learning about different things. And dung beetles are really important, you know. And there's a billion different varieties. And we had a professor from the University of Medicine come up. And we went out in my pasture. And it was really, I felt like a little kid. We just got to get sticks, and then we went through all the manure patties, you know, the dry ones, the wet ones, just to see what was happening in in the cow manure. And Larry, it's fascinating. I mean, I'm talking like amazing, the whole life that's happening in these little cow patties.
And they're doing good work.
Doing great work, yeah. And I got to learn, like, some of, you know, there's some bugs that are coming in there to eat the larvae of the other bugs, and there's some that are hatching in there, and there's, so it's just so mind-blowing, mind blown.
And you visited a potato farm as well?
Uh-huh, Vermont Community Farms down kind of near Madison area to learn about growing seed potatoes. And it was neat because I learned that you want to get certified seed potatoes so that you're not carrying disease around and things, and so it's important to know where you're getting your potato seed.
Sally in Sparta, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just want to say I grew up on a farm, and I really think that around the farm table is probably one of the happiest, pleasantest, easiest shows to watch. With everything that's on television anymore, I just always feel so good when I watch that show. She's always so happy and just... You know, I just really think that we need a lot more shows like Around the Farm Table, and that's all I have to say.
Oh, that is such a sweet thing. Thank you so much.
Well, it is. You know, you're an upbeat kind of gal.
Usually.
Yeah, probably except the day that the cows went.
Oh, I know.
Well, you got some schooling. I know in the fourth show... You go back to school to a children's garden.
Oh, yes. Here in Eau Claire, there's a Montessori school, and they're doing a school garden. So they bring the kids out there to plant seeds. The kids come out there and weed the garden, and then they harvest everything. And it's beautiful, and what a great classroom to be teaching in. You know, and just to be getting kids involved in this. I was lucky enough when I was a kid, my parents made me go out and garden. I mean, it wasn't and we were homeschooled. It was like, go weed the garden for an hour and come back and we'll read a book. But a lot of kids don't have that experience anymore. And these children were just so ecstatic about the gardens. And they were pulling these carrots out and eating the carrots. And they were, I was saying, well, what's your favorite vegetables? Every vegetable is their favorite vegetable. And they love eating it. And they love cooking with it. And I think it's a neat thing to be able to get kids involved in food and growing and just eating healthy by having these gardens.
And you made some blueberry yogurt popsicles, didn't you? And some...
Yes. Yeah. We went to a U-Pick blueberry place and got blueberries. And so we made a blueberry yogurt popsicle and then a carrot sorbet. And they were really good.
I bet they dug into that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, let's go to Dan in La Crosse next. Hi, Dan.
Hi. 30 years ago this summer, there was a terrible drought in 9 southeastern states, 15 northern states and provinces sent hay and feed grains that kept a lot of people on the farm. I've written a song about it. I wondered if there would be either the guest or anyone in the audience would remember that and might have been involved in that. I've given your screener my phone number, but it was such a wonderful event, the Great Haylift of 1986.
Oh, the Great Haylift, where I remember Wisconsin farmers and farmers in states where the drought didn't exist, semi-load after semi-load of bales went to farms in other states where the drought was critical. And you, Inga, are not old enough to remember that.
No, that's... I'm just a kiddo. But that sounds terrible.
Yeah, and so you're looking for people who might have had some remembrances of that, Dan.
Yes, I came across an 85-year-old man in Malvina, Wisconsin, just south of Sparta, who actually went to Alabama with the hay lift.
Oh. Well, I tell you what, we've got your number, and if somebody calls in and wants to talk with you, we can arrange that. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, there's some downsides to farming, aren't there?
Big time, yeah. There's a, you know, there's a lot of great things about it, and it is a, it's, you got to be a strong-willed person to farm, I think.
So, by the way, I wanted to just, again, your show is on next October 6th is the first, and that's going to be every...
Every Thursday night at 7:30.
So it'll be every Thursday night, 7:30, and if you can't catch it then, you can always go... They get posted right away, don't they? Or pretty close to right away?
I think
away?
So, yeah.
They get posted on WPT.org. So you can always see them that way. Janet in Heartland, thanks for calling. Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I had no idea about her program, and I will be checking the website to start watching some episodes. But within the hour, if I may share, I live out in Heartland, of course, and there's a sheep farm right near my house that I enjoy, and we used to go to farm breakfast there. But I just had an experience an hour ago where as I drove past, I saw how the sheep had been eating the grass, and there were tufts of grass everywhere, and it was just so much fun. Excuse me. And I stopped and took some pictures. Along came another car, and it was the sheep farmer. He invited me in to see the lamb that had been born this morning.
Oh.
That is such a great story.
You know, and that's kind of the way so many farm folks are, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Thanks for sharing that, Janet. And please do tune into the show or go online and take a look at the past episodes. We've talked about... Most of them, you mentioned earlier, the Caviar Show, and you get a reunion with Alice in Dairyland at the UW Research Station, I know. And you, speaking of sheep, you're going to get to help milk some sheep.
I do, yeah. That was, boy, that was a challenge, Larry, because I kept, you know, they have only two quarters, and I kept trying to put the unit on all four, and I couldn't find it. And I kept thinking, what am I doing wrong here?
And then some nuptials on the farm.
Yes. Yes, I got married last month on the farm, and I think I'm glad that farm weddings are kind of a popular thing these days, because it was the only thing I could afford was getting married in my backyard, but I felt very trendy.
So that's going to be a fun one. That's the seventh show, and then a lager lunch to wind it up.
Yes.
And so you'll be eating a lot at that one, I bet.
Well, you have to. You got to keep those lagers fed. They burn a lot of calories.
Lager pies on that menu, I saw. Lots of beef in that one, I bet.
Yes.
Well, Inga, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I always like to see you in person, but if I can't see you in person, it's great to talk with you via, kind of via phone in a way, from our Eau Claire studios.
Well, Larry, thank you so much for letting me be on your program today, and I hope I see you soon.
I do, too. Thank you so much. Inga Wischer, our guest today. Host of Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. She's got her organic farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. Always love to talk with her. She's such a bright light and so much fun to be around. It's just, I hope you look at her show. It's really great. Coming up, we're going to switch gears a little bit. She's Inga's a pretty creative person for sure. And I think she has some liberal arts in her background. We're going to be talking about fostering creativity through a liberal arts education. That coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.